Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad to be with you today in Madison. We're glad also to be with you who are listening on the World Wide Web by computer as WMAF streams 24/7 anywhere in the world that anyone is hooked up to the web. So we believe there are people listening today in other countries. We know there are people listening in other states. And we are very happy to invite you today to stay tuned to this broadcast. As in the midst of a world full of bad news, we're here to bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. This Bible is a love story from cover to cover. There is a tribe in Africa that had to been missionaries had visited. They established a church. They many people came into the Christian faith, and they had taught them Christ from the Scriptures, both Old and New Covenant, and they started calling the Holy Bible, the Jesus book, because they said if you open it just about anywhere, you'll find something about Him, whether it be the type and foreshadow in the Old Testament or the fulfillment of all of those types and prophecies in the New Testament. It's about God's great love for fallen man and the plan of salvation by which He would redeem us from ourselves, from our sins, and from our great enemy Satan. Thank God there's victory in Jesus for you and me today. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, we would invite you to stay tuned to this broadcast, and because we've got a great subject today, and I believe that you may comprehend better, understand better what the gospel of Jesus Christ is as we just dig into the Word of God today. Well, having said that, we'd like to invite you to our website if you want to know more about us. I have been pastor of the Holy Church of God Incorporated here in Tampa, an affiliate of the Independent Assemblies of God International since 1974 in good standing. And we've just celebrated 36 years of pastoral ministry, getting ready to celebrate 47 years of marriage. So God has been good to the Venable family, and He's been gracious. What we are today and where we've come from and where we are right now is a result of God's grace and faithfulness to our lives. But I want to declare unto you today that there is victory in Jesus Christ, no matter what the circumstance. So you don't want to miss this broadcast today. If you can help it, please set aside time and stay tuned. We're going to talk about a great subject today. We're going to talk about a people saved by the Lord, the power and privilege of being a child of God. And before we do that, I will give you our website. Just type in Pastor Robert A. Venable, V as in Victor, E-N-A-B-L-E. And it will take you to the Holy Church of God website. And you can also, if you want to abbreviate THCOG, those letters will take you also to our website. And everything is free. You can download sermons if you would like. You can download past recent broadcast of Let's Talk About Jesus if you miss something. And you can also call someone, write someone, email someone, and tell them about this radio station and tell them about this broadcast and other fine ministries that minister right here on WMAF. Well, are you ready in Madison for some good news? Are you ready anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world? There's nowhere you can go where to escape the bad news. Are you ready for some good news today? If you are, I have good news for you. We want to tell you, number one, if you don't know Jesus, you can know Him. You can become a child of God, a people or a person saved by the Lord. And if you are saved, we want you to know the power and the privilege of that relationship you now have with Him. Let's go back into the Old Covenant, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verses 26 through 29, for our initial scripture in this study. And let's look at what God said to His ancient people, the covenant people, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people. Listen, I want you to understand very, very clearly that we as New Testament believers, though we don't have a direct bloodline to the nation of Israel, we have a covenant relationship that has brought us into the same standing of blessing when we trust in Christ. So this relates to us today. Listen to it carefully. Verse 26 of Deuteronomy 33, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in His excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. And as his heaven shall drop down dew, also his heavens shall drop down dew." Now verse 29, listen carefully. "Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee? A people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." You know why, friend? God said, you are a people saved by the Lord. And you should be the happiest people on this planet. The Bible literally said, "Happy is the man who hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help." Paul in the New Covenant says, "What more shall we say to these things?" In the book of Romans, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" I tell you, there's victory in Jesus today, because when you become a Christian, you come into God's royal family. And in that royal family, God becomes your heavenly Father. That is, your provider and your protector. He's not only your creator, friend. He wants to be your Savior. And He wants you to be a person who is saved by the Lord. There's two great truths that we need to fully grasp as Christians. There's no God like our God. And there is no people like His people. If you're a Christian today, you're not just a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You have been saved by grace. And now you are the recipient of extraordinary blessings because of an exceptional standing with God. Like ancient Israel, God's salvation has set us apart, made us unique, and marked us exclusively as His own. I love the way Simon Peter expresses it in the New Covenant, the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I want to read that from the Amplified. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people." I'm going to say that again. God's own purchased special people. "That you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." I'm going to read verse 10 in the Amplified. "Once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you were unpitied, but now you are pitied and have received mercy. The reason for the glorious blessings of verse 9 is the mercy and grace that had been granted in verse 10. In light of that scripture, there is something we should all say today. I don't know if I'm speaking to a physician who would be honored in our society, or an educator, or a professor of a college, or where I'm speaking to someone that has a janitorial position, or some other job that doesn't put you in the same financial status or the same respectful status. It does not matter. When we become Christians, we come into a common ground at the foot of the cross, where there's neither Jew nor Greek, the scripture teaches, nor bond nor free, nor rich nor poor, nor male nor female, but we are one in Jesus Christ. Literally, we can say nobody is a nobody in the kingdom of God. And controversially, we can say everybody is a somebody in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is such a gracious God, and He has brought us into His royal family and made us a people with privileges and benefits and blessings that are beyond anything that we could possibly fully comprehend and imagine. But we're gonna take a shot at it as we keep going in Scripture and growing in grace. We're going to learn more and more until the perfect day comes when we stand in His presence in our heavenly home. Listen to Hosea chapter 2, verse 23, as we go back and forth in the Old and New Covenant. Listen, "And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy," speaking the nation of Israel. "And I will say unto them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my God." Friend, the Bible is a love story. It's a story of a God of great mercy and grace who persists in seeking to save fallen man. And one of the most loveliest love stories of all the Bible is found tucked away in a book that people don't minister from all that often. It's the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament. And it's an allegory of unfaithful Jerusalem. Let me read it to you, and then we're going to talk about it. It's quite lengthy, but it's worth the time that we're going to spend. We won't finish, I'm sure, this today, but we will get started into it. Look at this story. This, as we get ready to read this together, this is like, I would love to see a film made of this love story of God for a nation who the other nations had absolutely looked at as a throwaway people, a paper cup nation that you just wad it up and throw it away. But God, to demonstrate His love, to demonstrate the strength of His covenant, to show the difference between how man loves and esteems and how God in His divine love operates, He chose a people that were not a people. He chose a people that were not even the most lovable people. He called them at one point stubborn and stiff-necked people. Well, to tell you the truth, in our flesh nature, we could all qualify as stubborn, stiff-necked people until He takes away the heart of stone and gives us the heart of flesh. But what He's saying is, I didn't choose you because you were greater in number than any other people, or because you were the most lovable people. I chose you because I made a covenant with Abraham. See, God wants us to know the power of covenant love. It's not based on our performance. His love isn't. His blessings clearly is. But His love is not. And it's not based on our performance, and it's not based on our merit. It's based on God's promise to love. And that promise is a promise that God promised to keep. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, I could swear by no other, so I swore by myself. In other words, there's no one greater than God to make this promise before, so he made it in his own holiness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to these scriptures. It's one of the most lovely love stories in all of the Bible. And let's read it together. Ezekiel 16 and verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me. Son of man, confront Jerusalem with her detestable practices and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says to Jerusalem. Your ancestry and birth were in the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. The day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. No one looked on you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out in the open field. For on the day that you were born, you were despised. I want you to think about that. I especially want you to think about that, not just in the national sense, but on a personal level. You may be the black sheep of the family. You may be the one that has brought shame, disgrace, that you failed. You may have failed your family if you married. You may have let alcohol destroy it. You may have let drugs. You may have let illicit sex. You may have let money do it and the lust for it and pride. You may have let anger cause you to hurt and harm people that you should have loved and been tender with. You may be despised by so many people, and yet I'm going to declare to you today that God loves you. God wants to restore your soul and restore your life, and he is interested right now in how you feel, the guilt even that you bear. God wants to not only restore blessings to your life, he wants to give you the blessing of his peace. He wants to take that heavy burden of guilt and shame off of you. He wants to give you a worth that you could never attain any other way except to accept his son and see how precious the blood of Jesus is. If God loves you enough to give his son to die for you, he loves you enough to restore your life. Praise God. Let's see how God dealt with this nation that despised and had no merit to change that. Listen to verse 6. Then I passed by, saw you kicking about in your blood. And as you lay there in your blood, I said unto you, live. I'm reading from the New International. I made you grow like a plant of the field. You grew up and developed and became the most beautiful of jewels. Your breasts were formed and your hair grew, and you who were naked and bare. Later I passed by, and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you, covered your nakedness. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord, and you became mine. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, I bathed you with water and washed the blood from you and put ointments on you. I clothed you with an embroidered dress and put leather sandals on you. I dressed you in fine linen and covered you with costly garments. I adorned you with jewelry. I put bracelets on your arms and a necklace around your neck. And I put a ring on your nose, earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. So you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes were of fine linen and costly fabric and embroidered cloth. Your food was fine flour, honey, and olive oil. You became very beautiful and rose to be a queen. Your fame spread among the nations on the account of your beauty, because of the splendor I had given you, made your beauty perfect, declares the sovereign Lord. Listen to me. I want to take this quite lengthy reading for radio broadcast. And I want to tell you, it's the story in allegory of a baby girl who was born of mixed ethnicity in the land of Canaan. She was unwanted and unloved and left in the fields to die. It's a horrendous story, not unknown to us here, where similar kinds of reports occasionally make the news. This baby girl was simply abandoned and uncared for. The umbilical cord was uncut. The baby was unwashed and covered with the stain of the blood of birth. She was left to a living burial, kicking and crying in the hot, merciless sun. Ezekiel tells us at the onset that this is a parable of Israel. Israel was born of mixed backgrounds. The city of Jerusalem was once in the hands of the Canaanites. From their heathen past, the people of God owed their origin to a Canaanite population of a mixed race. They had an inclination to return to heathenism, unpopular with all the other nations of the world. Israel was cast aside. Israel was left to die. It happened that a wonderful prince passed by and saw the child. The picture is of God Himself. He turned in compassion toward the little baby in all her pain and agony. He showed mercy and rescued the child, not because of any intrinsic merit of the child, but prompted by love, God turned to gaze upon the predicament she was in. He lifted the baby up, loved and cherished it. Let it be said that God's essence is love. The New Testament declares that God is love in 1 John. In Deuteronomy 7:7, we read that God did not choose Israel because they were the greatest nation in the world, nor the wealthiest, nor the most intelligent among the peoples. He chose them because He set His love upon them. That is the only reason. Scripture tells us that God loved them. Even though they were the most despised peoples of the world, they were just like this little baby dying in the field. God chooses not only to love the unloved, but also the unlovely. Despite the child being unwashed and unkept, God chose this baby to be His own. Israel's story of love is rooted in God's nature of love and the love covenant that He established with Abraham. I want you to know, when we're talking about covenants, both old and new, that separate your Bible, the Old and New Testament, really more accurately should read the Old and the New Covenant. This is not just a legal contract that God has made. God does keep His word, however, because He's holy and He cannot lie. But the reason He came into this contract or covenant in the first place wasn't to establish just a legal document that He committed Himself to. He set His love, the Scripture said. You know, in the New Testament, in John 3:16, it said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." It's not just because He made a contract, a promise to do it alone. It's not just because the prophecies have been spoken. Behind the promise is the reason, and the reason is because God loves you. I'm declaring to you today that God loves you. You may loathe yourself, but God loves you. Others may loathe you, but God loves you. And God wants to forgive you every sin. And God wants to restore your soul. And God wants you to feel, maybe for the first time in your life, that you are loved unconditionally. And friend of mine, if you receive that love today, if you're a Christian and you took that baggage into the kingdom with you, God wants you to unpack those bags and throw everything in them away, including the suitcase. In fact, you don't even have to unpack them. Just throw suitcase and all away. Praise God. Just get rid of everything of your past, because your past is past. You know what God said He would do with your sins? He said He'd cast them away from you in the New Testament and the Old, as far as the East is from the West. Your sins He would remember no more. But He does more than forgive you. He brings you into His royal family. He takes you, who is left to die and be destroyed, and He loves you. And not only does He love you, He brings you into His royal family and makes you part of the bride of Christ. Going from a baby dying in a field, unloved and uncared for, literally without any hope. This little girl grows up, becomes a beautiful lady, and the prince that was so compassionate says, "I want this young lady to be my wife." And she becomes a queen, from dying in a field to a queen. Only God can take a life that's been so shattered and turn it into something so very beautiful. God is a wonderful God today. It's a mighty illustration of what God has done in the life of a sinner who cries out for mercy. God turns His eye upon His beloved, picks her up, sets her feet upon a rock. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, points out in the second chapter that we as Christians were at one time dead in the sins of the flesh and because of the devil. But it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love, wherewith He has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved through faith." I want to say that again. By grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God. It's not of works or merit, lest any man would boast. Oh, I boast all right, but I boast in the mercy of God. I boast in His forgiveness. Friend of mine, we stand today in need of a Savior. All of us, sons of Adam's race, Adam's fallen race because of sin, we stand in need of a Savior. One preacher put it the best I've ever heard it in a simple statement. I am a great sinner, but I have a great Savior who has forgiven my sins and given me victory in Jesus. Praise God. Someone said, and I think it was me this time, amen, we have a great enemy in Satan, and we have a greater ally in Jesus Christ. That's why we have such promise of victory today. Praise the Lord. God is a gracious and good God, and He loves you, friend, today, enough to give His Son for you. And no matter what you've done, no matter what your past is, no matter what your story is, amen, there is grace abundant for you. There is pardon for you in Jesus Christ. Amen. God will give you the love that He gave the nation of Israel in ancient times. He will take someone who can't help themselves, can't change themselves, can't change their circumstances, and He will love you, forgive you, restore you. And He will give you, as the Scripture said, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise God. What a transformation. What a new prospect, a new purpose, a new future is ours when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. And if you don't know Him today, I want to invite you right now to open your heart and your life to Him, to literally accept Him now. Repent of your sins so He can pick you up. He's reaching way down for you today. Ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him to save you. He loves you like nobody will ever love you. And when He embraces you, forgives your sin, the Bible said you'll come to know a love, the love of God, that passes knowledge. How can God love me? How can He love me at all, let alone love me this deeply? I'm telling you, that's why His Son came. That's why the gospel is preached. That's why all of these songs have been playing on this radio station today. Make no mistake about it, God loves you today. And if you're a Christian today and you're struggling with guilt, shame, people that won't forgive you, hold aught against you. I want you to know that God loves you. He's washed away your sin. Don't look back anymore. Your past is past. Look up and look forward. Well, our time is gone. We love you. Come back next week. Let's talk about Jesus.